Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White. This is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. It's an opportunity for us to discuss a special topic relating to either spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, or more. I also usually have a guest on the show, and it's wonderful the education that comes through in these moments that we share together. I'm always fascinated with the direction that the conversation flows organically, and I hope that you can enjoy it too. Another way you can tune into the show would be on blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. I'm part of the Lilydale Radio family, and that means there are other shows that happen throughout the week. That's a listen-only feature one, but you can tune into the other shows that happen in that way. This will also go on to the Lilydale Assembly Facebook page as well as my YouTube channel. So lots of places that you can tune into the show for whatever's right for you, and you can watch the replay of it later if you can't catch us live. Now, I have a couple more announcements real quickly. I do have my auras class, Understanding Your Aura. That will be happening this Saturday at 1 o'clock on Zoom, and it's going to be a great time and place for you to explore your aura and understand the layers, colors associated with it, and start to understand how to do an aura reading. You can find more about that class on my website, willawhite.com, and you can sign up for that. Hope you can join us. It has a whole package with it that'll come with a downloadable handout and a downloadable audio exercise that you can keep for after the class. All right, so without further ado, I would like to introduce our topic, which is spirit contact with instrumental transcommunication, and that is made possible because we have the lovely Shannon Taggart with us today. Hello, Shannon.
Hi, Willa. Thanks for having me back.
Yes, Shannon has been a delightful guest, and you can look at the archive videos of the show. She's come on to talk about various spiritualism topics. She is a spirit photographer, and she's been able to take part in a lot of different physical mediumship events and been able to capture those with her good eye and with her photography skills. And she's also the facilitator, of the Lilydale Summer Symposium, which is an array of lecture events that people can really start to see where science and spiritualism merge, and definitely have scholars from around the world that take part in that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later on, but she's also the author of the book Seance. And I have my copy with me, so as I said, I'd show you. This is the book Seance that Shannon Taggart wrote.
Yes, and it's coming out in a new edition, so it's slightly different.
Yeah, it is.
It's actually the same size, but it's a different format, and there's an extra essay and some new pictures in the new edition, and that is available for pre-order right now. It's shipping in December.
Yeah, so you can visit shannontaggart.com and get your information about that. She's got fantastic photos in here of various events that she's attended and things having to do with spirit art. So if you want to be in the know about those things and have amazing photos to look at, this is a very valuable book. And the foreword was written by Dan Aykroyd, of all people, the man himself from Ghostbusters. So yeah, a lot of wonderful compilation of photographs and information is in that book. So thank you for producing that for us, Shannon. So
yeah, and
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's, I'm drawing the idea for instrumental transcommunication from the book, because I do talk about that in the book.
Wonderful. Yeah, so we're going to go into a deep dive on our topic, and hope you guys enjoy it. Again, if you just joined us, this is Shannon Taggart, who's my special guest on the show today, and you can look back in the archive videos on Willow White Medium and also on my YouTube channel. If you want to type in Shannon Taggart, you'll be able to find when she's been a guest on the show before. So let's go ahead and go into our topic, which is instrumental transcommunication. Also, the acronym of that would be ITC, and a lot of people don't know what that is. So what is that, Shannon?
Well, instrumental transcommunication is when you combine mediumship with cameras, video, audio recorders, any type of technology in order to amplify the communication or have different forms of communication. And it's not specifically spiritualist. There has been many practitioners who don't consider themselves spiritualists. One of the most famous practitioners is actually a spiritist in Brazil named Sonia Rinaldi, and she does wonderful work. She's a fascinating person. There's actually a documentary about her life out on the internet you can find. But, you know, this encompasses things like EVP and orb photography and things people may have heard about. I would put it all under this ITC umbrella, which is, you know, combining mediumship and talking to spirits. It also kind of touches on that paranormal investigation, you know, and I know a lot of paranormal investigators are not spiritualists. Some are. There's a lot of, as with anything, you know, spiritualists are free thinkers, and there's spiritualists who are pro, you know, rescue seances or paranormal investigation, and those who aren't. So, right. You know, it's all trying to unpack all of this gets complicated. But I find that there are many spiritualists experimenting with technology, and I find that fascinating, being a professional photographer. And it was one of the discovering that ITC existed, because, you know, of course I did not learn about it in art school. It's something that is kind of kept in the specialist literature, or, you know, it's not broadly talked about in when you're learning about technology and art. You know, it's one of the things that drew me back into my project, because I had taken a break photographing spiritualism, because I was frustrated. How do you photograph invisible things? You know, it took me a long time to figure that out.
Sure. And it's definitely shown through the years in your photography, the efforts you've gone to make this authentic and to really show not just what can be accomplished in the magic behind the scenes, but like what is true. Not just photography that could be manipulated. This has to be photography that is the true blue spirit showing up with us and manifesting in physical phenomenon.
Yeah, I try to explore all aspects of spirit photography in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, learning about spirit photography is what led me to discover ITC.
Mm-hmm.
And also I started meeting practitioners, my friend Donna Hogan Sinclair, I always switch those around. She is an EVP practitioner who she started because she received a voicemail from her deceased brother-in-law that was time-stamped 3 days after his death. And this led her down the EVP route, and then then she found spiritualism and mediumship, and so it combined, the technology brought her into that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, orb photography, I've met a lot of orb photographers, and a lot of the orb photographers I met are, many of them are grieving mothers seeking to communicate with their deceased children, and that is really the crux of the orb photography community. It was kind of spearheaded on the internet, and now that we have the internet, this ITC practice is kind of exploding, because when I began my project, it was 2001, so there wasn't much exchange about this information.
So let's unpack that a little bit. When it comes to EVP, electronic voice phenomenon, that usually is occurring because spirit's able to use the electricity or that technology device to be able to produce that. It is difficult for spirit in some ways to do any of those things because they don't have a physical body. And so they have to be utilizing energy to make that possible. And I remember, because I've been a medium so long now, that I first started out with using cassette tapes to record sessions. And people would get them home and pop them in at home, and then they would call me, and they'd be like, oh my goodness, I heard my dad speaking on the tape. Or they'll say they heard their mom. And it's just very interesting that they can actually hear sometimes the voices that would show up. Now, after I went to CD, to digital format, that didn't show up as much. Show up because they didn't have the white noise that was associated with using those cassette tapes, right? But they can utilize the digital world. It's just, I think, a little easier when they have the white noise. Wouldn't you say, Shannon?
Yeah, and there's a lot of theories about the best way to record, and also a lot of EVP practitioners will talk about how the sound will change over time, or you have to back it up because it will disappear, and I'm not sure what they call that phenomenon, but, you know, like, that actually it may develop over time, it may disappear over time, and that's like an aspect of this type of phenomena.
Right. That it almost holds. It's kind of like with spirit art. With my mom, who's a spirit artist, people will tell her, and they put it under glass. They really appreciate the spirit drawings and spirit paintings. They put them under glass, so there's nobody that can be smearing things or changing things. And they'll say, look, this is different. They'll have a before picture and an after picture. Sometimes it's a couple months or a couple years later that things have changed and other things have emerged from it. So it is fascinating how that can be altered, and you know, you're left with, after you've ruled the scientific parts of it out, left with spirit. And I think that's a good rule of thumb. Like, if you scientifically ruled out, there's no reason that this should be appearing or that I should be hearing this, then you're left with spirit.
So that's part of kind of the belief around this type of phenomena. And but now in the digital age, you know, there are mediums online who are using thermal cameras. You know, they're documenting their own trance sessions with heat sensitive cameras and trying to track temperature changes with it. There's a lot of mediums online a few mediums are doing where they're using their eyeglasses and they're photographing their eyeglasses and kind of showing spirits in the eyeglasses. I don't know what they call it. It's sort of like type of a scrying, you know, and they'll show right over their eye with the eyeglasses. So I'm kind of fascinated with how creative mediums have been with using technology and finding signs and messages.
And then that's showing up on spirit photography when they take pictures of the glasses. Is that what you're saying?
They take the pictures of the glasses and they see they see spirit, and then they'll post them and see if anybody recognizes them. And then if somebody sends the picture back, they'll put the picture right next to. Mm-hmm. That.
So it hasn't been documented in terms of during a reading that it's happening to their glasses.
It's usually medium sitting for it.
Right. They're sitting and they're welcoming spirit in, and then spirit is showing up somehow in the light or the glare or the glaze. On the glasses.
As a photographer, it's kind of astounding to me how they're doing these very technical images with their iPhone. You can find them online and people are doing them.
Very interesting.
And it's really, and I think As far as ITC and spiritualism, the overlap of those two things, I believe that when they started to really come together was in the 90s, there was this group called the Skoll Experiment that was active in England in the mid to late 1990s. And they were using all sorts of technology. They were having these seances in England, and it was considered some of the best evidence of afterlife communication by many of the people who were studying them. They were studied by the Society for Psychical Research. There was books and papers. There's going to be a movie about them coming out soon. They got apport, but they were also received messages on photographic film. They had this. They were in touch with the Polaroid company, and somebody from the Polaroid company gave them an Instamatic film processor so they could process film right there without using a lab. They also created this video system, and they called it Project Alice, after, you know, Alice in Wonderland, where they took two video cameras and they pointed them kind of like at like a white noise screen, you know, kind of like a feedback loop, and they got images that they said were from other worlds. There was they said they had alien contact through that. So the Skoll Experiment was part of the reason physical mediumship came back, because one of the founders, Robin Foy, founded this society called the Noah's Ark Society in England, and he was trying to bring back that form of mediumship, and then he started the Skoll Experiment, and then kind of the technology experimentation really exploded. And, you know, in England, there's a lot, I found there's like a lot of, there's more spiritualist churches there than in the U.S. I don't know why. I know spiritualism was born in America, but it seems to be a little more intact in the country of England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do have, for the space, the little space that they have compared to the United States, they absolutely do have more spiritualist churches per square mile, if you will. And so it's fascinating to me that people have been able to sit for this. There's a lot of patience that is involved with taking on physical mediumship, and a dedicated group that is going to sit whether they get that phenomenon or not. And it's not always about was that a success that day or whatever. There's a building of energy that happens. I mean, for the Skoll Experiment, they sat for years to make this and the balancing of the energy between them that occurred.
Yes, and they were also trying to develop a new form of energy to use for physical mediumship. They called it energy-based rather than ectoplasmic-based.
Right.
And they felt that this was safer. So a lot of times, or they had a dome in their seance room. So sometimes in my book, I documented some people who use domes, and that comes from the Skoll group, where they said the energy was coming into this dome, and that's, you know, rather than ectoplasmic mediumship, which is supposed to emanate from the medium's body,
right,
and is said to be very dangerous and can only be done in complete darkness. So there was a lot of new theories, too, that Skoll was developing about, like, how physical mediumship could be done. And, you know, there's always a lot of debate about the topic of physical mediumship and whether it's of the past or should be of the future, or whether we need it anymore or not. So one of the goals of Skoll was to kind of move that type of mediumship forward.
Mm-hmm. And I know they do have a lot of credible people that have signed off on those on the information that came through in those experiments as well.
There was several of the esteemed members of the Society for Psychical Research published articles about how they felt everything there was absolutely genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I actually met somebody who had sat with Skoll. I had met Robin Foy and his wife Sandra too. He's recently passed away. And I was able to photograph some of the apports that the Skoll Experiment received, and those are in the book and documented. and also a device that they built that they said the spirit of Thomas Edison gave them the plans and the ideas for, mm-hmm. called the Transdimensional Communication Device. So it's a device that they used, they built via plans from Thomas Edison, and they used it, and they hooked it up to a tape recorder, and they said that they tape recorded his voice. Mm-hmm. And right now, actually, there's an archivist for the Skoll Experiment, and they're working hard to put all of their seance tapes up online.
Wow.
So if anybody has a real interest to do a deep dive into some of their material, they're building that site right now.
Beautiful. And is that something that people, is it accessible for viewing or listening right now?
I think some of it is up online.
And how would, do you know what the website would be for that?
The Skoll Experiment. I don't know if I should. Should I look for it now and post it somehow?
Well, you can let me know later, and I can post
it
to it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, post it. I know they're working hard on it, though, and that a movie is coming out soon.
Which is very, very exciting. We hope it's well done and not just Hollywooded, because
It is such a fascinating story. And Robin Foy actually wrote a book about, it's a very big book called Witnessing the Impossible.
Mm.
And it's a fully detailed log of everything that happened with that group.
Wow. Just beautiful. We have to be willing to expand our consciousness and our minds to kind of be open and receptive to this kind of information, and to, of course, put it through our own little filters of understanding. But it's good that people know that there's this expansiveness that is going on. So that spirit communication is definitely not something that is lost and gone by the wayside. This is something that is continually developing, and people are coming up with new and wonderful ideas and plans to make that more successful. Go ahead.
Also, spiritualist history has always been tied to technology and technological innovation, mm-hmm. and so this type of experimentation has been embedded in spiritualism since the beginning.
Yes, if you look at the history of spiritualism and how, especially during the 1800s, 1900s, the experiments that scientists did to show the evidence of spirit. And Shannon, she's had some great presenters, as I said, for the Lilydale Summer Symposium that have gone more in depth about some of these topics that we're discussing today.
Yeah, this past summer, just for example, there's some new scholarship happening in relation to spiritualism and technology. And one of those presenters, Emma Merkling, was talking about the connection between the William Crookes tube and spiritualism, because William Crookes, we might not remember his name so much now, but he was one of the most esteemed scientists of the late 19th century, and he developed the Crookes tube. He studied spiritualism for 30 years. He investigated seances. He was the first person to photograph a spirit materialization. He also developed a piece of technology called the Crookes tube, which led to the invention of the X-ray and the television.
Yes.
So I'd like to point out, one of the reasons I do the summer program is to point out that spiritualism has such a absolutely fascinating history that ties to art, science, and technology. And a lot of this has been written out of history books or forgotten. But basically, wherever you find 19th century innovation, you also find spiritualism in multiple disciplines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent point, and it's something that Shannon does such a wonderful job of curating the lectures that come for the summer. And we can't thank you enough for doing that and pursuing the science and the art and bringing people together so that they can really have deeper conversations about these things. Now, another aspect in terms of the voice phenomenon, I've even heard that people are trying to develop a phone to spirit, which would be along those lines of ITC. Yeah.
Supposedly Thomas Edison was spent the last 10 years of his life working on a phone to talk to the other side. And I think there was one called Spiritcom.
I think I heard that too, yeah.
People were working on, and there's a lot of technological experiments. And also, you know, when the phone first came out, you know, people, this disembodied voice, being able to hear it, it was like, what else can we contact? What else can travel through such, you know, through electricity and through technology?
Yes. So many clients over the years have shared stories with me of, like you mentioned earlier, the lady with the cell phone message that she received a few days after a loved one had passed. Other people had actual calls from their loved one who passed that they can see the number ringing through to them. And there's no reason for that to happen. Some of them have received text messages after the fact, even though they are the only ones in possession of that phone.
Wow, yeah, and this ties into ideas about electricity and spirituality, which is something I've been fascinated with. I mean, just this past year at the symposium, you know, we had Leonard George speak about lightning and the divine. And there's a medium named Elizabeth Crone, who, she's a recent person who's written a book about how she was struck by lightning and then became a medium because of that. Mm-hmm. And I find her interviews in her book fascinating, because she was never a medium before. She was never thought anything like that would ever happen to her. Completely being electrified completely changed her life. And one of her stories, she talks about her phone ringing in the middle of the night and her hearing her grandfather on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And that she felt, I think somebody asked her, oh, well, do you think if somebody else had picked up the phone, they would have heard the voice too? And she thought maybe because she had been electrocuted that she had a special sensitivity to hear it.
Right.
And I do notice with EVP practitioners, a lot of times, some people can hear it and some people can't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's also with sphere photography, it's like some people see things in pictures, others don't see, especially with orb photography, they're zooming in and they're trying to see faces or decode messages or letters. And some people really can see it and other people can't. And even the way we use technology, you see how different photographers can use the same camera and come up with very different images. There's consciousness is involved in all of this as well. And even if you're taking out the whole talking to the spirit world, I do think when we use technology, we embed our consciousness into it.
Mm.
So, you know, maybe that's part of how other communications come in. I don't know. It's a mystery. But you have your mind interacting with electricity, intending to record. And it's just really fascinating when you think of it. We're so used to, you know, we have our phones now and technology is everywhere. It's a big part of our practical life. And I think sometimes we forget how metaphysical it actually is.
It can be, absolutely. Let's lean in for people who don't understand about what orb photography is so that they can have a better grasp of this. When we're talking about orbs, we're talking about energy. A lot of times it'll manifest like a sphere of light. And this is different from a dust particle on the lens of the camera or a light flare or glare. That there are distinctions of this, and there are also manifestations where you can actually see a loved one's face. It kind of takes on a color or almost a hologram effect a lot of the time, correct?
Yeah, so orb photography it kind of evolved into the digital age, and I would say it's the spirit photography of today. It's the most popular form of spirit photography, and there's been a lot of books and analysis about what are orbs. Is it just water? Is it just dust particles? Is it just camera glitches? There are physicists who claim they could even get orbs in clean rooms, and they tried to debunk all of the other possibilities. And they've written a book. I think it's called Orbs Among Us. But the point when people are working with orbs, the point isn't, it's besides the point what it is. The point of an orb is to interact with it. So there's this technique called orb calling, where you take your digital camera, and people do this at the stump. Teresa Schaefer has a absolutely amazing orb photography class that I've taken in Lilydale, and you'll go out to the stump and you'll ask the orbs to appear. I have a picture of Teresa, like she's putting her hand out and get it. So you're asking it to interact consciously, to show its intelligence, to show it's there. You'll see a lot of times if you look up orb photography online, they'll start in a blank room and they'll just keep asking for orbs, and by the end of the photo series, the whole room will be filled with orbs. I find that part fascinating. I know, technology-wise, you can get orbs from glare or, bugs or, water, but there's something really fascinating about these practitioners who are over and over and over again commanding orbs into patterns, asking them to appear, fill up a room. And there's one picture in my book where, and I have a digital camera, but it has a very large sensor. It's a professional camera. And one of the theories about orbs is that you're more apt to get orbs on cameras with a smaller chip. So that's one of the theories why it's more common with small digital cameras. So I was with these orb photographers in Italy, and they said, come on, we're going to go do some orb photography. And I said, well, I'll go and I'll bring my camera, but I'm not going to get any orbs because I never get orbs. But I'm going to go and take pictures. And they said, oh no, if we go out into the woods, and we were in the mountains where, there was some sacred area. And they said, if we go into these mountains and we say our prayers, you will get orbs. And so we went into the mountains, we said the prayers, and right after they said the prayers, I took a picture, and I did get orbs. I got orb upon orb upon orb. Every millimeter of this file, this photo file, is full of orbs. And it wasn't a dust storm, and it wasn't water, and it wasn't a bug storm. And so to this day, I still am unclear how I got all of those orbs, and it's one of the only orbs photographs I've ever made.
I think that's interesting that you say, to this day, I'm still unclear how, and yet you just told us how you did it.
Well, I know, but I am always am always open to, I guess I am, I'm a proper, some people have told me that good spiritualists are always skeptical. I'm always open to maybe there was something I didn't consider there, but it was, I always leave that that door open for other possibilities. But I mean, to me, it was really astounding, and it was just one of the most astounding experiences I've had doing photography, really, during this project, because it's undeniable that there are orbs over every part.
Undeniable.
Of
so this is a fascinating thing, and I just think it's worth a mention. People can have spirit experiences, and then they can try to talk themselves out of it. They can try to deconstruct what happened. So they can take something that was profound and beautiful, and they can heap all the cynicism they want onto that and really try to poke as many holes, and that can be useful sometimes in our lives, but it can really deconstruct that sacred connection. So I want to encourage people that, yes, being healthy skeptic is important, but also not denying your experiences that you might be having with electronic voice phenomenon, with orb photography, with instrumental communication, and also what you might be experiencing on a mental mediumship level as well. This is for all mediumship to keep in mind the balance between science and spirit.
Yes, and I actually saw a lot of what you're saying about in Lilydale over the past few summers. I don't know if you're aware of this at all, but a lot of people have been going down on the fairy trail and saying that they're seeing fairies and photographing fairies. And I have friends who saw different colored fairies. It wasn't firefly colors. It was, different. I'm not sure exactly what color, maybe blue or purple. And they were whistling, and the fairies were whistling back. And then bands of people going out together. This has been probably the past 5 years in Lilydale. I've noticed there's been a lot of this type of experimentation. And then some people come back like, I can't believe what just happened. And then the next day they're like, well, no, it must have been this. It must have been that. So I've seen that really dramatically happen with the fairy trail.
Yes.
So I know that in Lilydale there's a lot of orb photography going around the stump, and then a lot of this other experimental photography happening on the fairy trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see some pictures that people had that were absolutely mind-blowing. I have no idea how they got them. And there was one woman, I have to track her down, and I think I have an idea of how, but she had the most incredible fairy photos from Lilydale. I mean, they were really unbelievable, astounding. So, that's interesting.
So, in your observation, have you noticed that the people who seem to get the best spirit photos and spirit electronic voice phenomenon are the ones that do move more into a space of trust?
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely...
There's a correlation there.
It's all in the spirit of play and fun and trust and camaraderie, rapport, also if everybody is in this belief state that we can go and we can see fairies, those are the people who are more apt to have that experience. So, it's believing what is possible. Also, that's what a circle is, a mediumship circle. It's like you're all sitting together, you're melding your consciousness, you're putting your spirit too is merging and blending.
Yeah.
And with an intention, and intention is everything.
Yes.
And so also play and fun and laughing. You'll hear that a lot of when you're people who suggest about physical mediumship. That's why people sing or tell jokes or try to
raise the vibration.
Stuffy, mm-hmm. Raise the vibration and bring people together.
Yes. And so those of you who are students in my circles, you're like, yes, this is what Willa tells us. Go ahead and have fun, have trust, and more will come to you when you're in that right intention and right practice and keeping it in that sacred joy. I think that those are important elements for all of us.
Yeah. And as I move forward with my own work, I find it more important to only try to work with people that I do trust. And I know that's hard because you also have to be open to meeting new people too. But like-minded people, as people who have the same intentions mm-hmm. as you do,
mm-hmm.
That's really important.
And for those of you who these concepts are new to, I don't feel that Shannon and I are trying to encourage you to go and do this necessarily, but it's something that you would want to approach with that kind of love and joy and that set intention. None of this is for dark purpose. None of this is for any of that kind of low vibration thinking. And so I always try to encourage people to keep it in the highest and best if they're going to venture into this particular world.
Yeah, that's some of the criticism, right, with some of the paranormal investigations, going to a haunted house or something really negative happened.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I've heard a lot about some EVP practitioners who are just listening to these negative sounds or scary sounds over and over and over again. That's where spiritualism really comes in and can kind of lend a hand to these types of practices because, and I know that there is a lot of debate about whether, what do you think, Willa, about like things like rescue circles? Or I was just talking to a medium the other day who she said she knows this medium is just constantly doing all these rescue circles and it seems very, very dark and very scary. And I said, well, I don't know a lot of people who are seeking that out. I don't know how necessary it is. I mean, what are your thoughts as a working medium?
As a working medium, that's really not necessary. I think that people can choose what channel they would like to be on, and sometimes what they're connecting with is residual energy. It is not the energy of the moment, of the true moment.
Right. Like
so that's the other thing to keep in mind, is that the angels gather in around a person when they pass. No one dies alone. So it's just, consciousness is important, and they do learn and grow, and spiritual progression is eternal and infinite. And you're right, that's where spiritualism really starts to take hold within a person, when they realize that they don't have to worry about those elements, that it's
right.
All taken care of. There's you have to let that be on that good automatic pilot when it comes to the good, and that you can run into the residual energy that's in a place, it's in a space, or in a person's consciousness, right?
Right. Like a lot of a good way to discuss residual energy is with the concept of the Akashic Records.
Yes.
Which is this idea that everything that's ever happened, every intention, every thought, every emotion, every action is recorded on the astral plane, and it exists on this Akashic record. And I was trying to explain, in the book I do talk about this also, that a ghost, when you think about, okay, what are the classic ghost stories? It's the same woman in the same dress, she walks down the same hallway.
And this loops.
And that's more like a recording or something stuck, or it is kind of like a videotape replaying, and it's not about consciousness or an intelligence speaking. That's the difference between ghosts and spirits.
Yeah.
But do you find it? I've met mediums who say, "Well, I don't care if people call them ghosts or spirits," and other mediums who say, "No, a ghost is something like a residue from the Akashic, and a spirit is intelligent, and you're communicating with this intelligence."
I would say that's a simplified way of looking at it. Yes, that's a good rule of thumb for folks to understand the difference about this, and that most spiritualists are not into spook and boo, this idea of the scare stuff that goes on, and I don't have fear about spirit in all these decades. It's been very productive and useful, and while I can sense the space and energy that has gone before, that is what's termed psychometry, when you can feel the energy of a space, of an object, of a person. And so that is the distinction. Spirit, a lot of times if they're coming around and it used to be a place they lived, they're just visiting. You know, that was their place, that was their stomping ground. They're coming in to visit, especially if people are changing the house. And they're not there to invade your privacy. They're not there. Sometimes they're just like, hey, you know, I really like this. Or, hey, did you know that if you knock this wall out, you're going to find this thing I stashed there? Like, it's that kind of an energy. And it's people have to know that there's not evil intent. It wouldn't be allowed. I mean, we have to have our healthy thoughts and healthy boundaries energetically with people, and that's an important aspect of this. So if you're going to have ITC happen, make sure you're setting that intention, that sacred intention.
Absolutely.
Prayer.
I would suggest opening and closing it just like you do a regular circle. You would use your spiritual hygiene in the way that you would use in any other type of a sitting. And Janet Nohavik used to say, the wonderful medium who has recently passed, she would say, don't go opening doors if you're not ready to, that you're scared of.
That's right.
You know, don't go opening, if you're afraid of it, don't go opening doors to other realms. Don't even do these practices. You know, sometimes, though, these, like with my friend Donna, she wasn't seeking it. It happened to her. So that's why I do think spiritualists should engage with technology so they can help people who have these types of experiences.
Absolutely.
And they can help guide them to the healing intention that is core to spiritualism.
Yes. Reframe their thinking about things. That's where that comes
from. Right.
Yeah.
And it deeply attaches to spiritualist history. So I do think if spiritualism is going to evolve and be in the world as a necessary force, which I believe that it is, I do think there should be an awareness. This is just my two cents, but, you know, because people are having these types of experiences and they need guidance.
Absolutely. And, you know, clients come regularly with these events, and it's, by and large, they know that it's not scary. By and large, they're just like, that was so awesome that I heard from my mom. That was so great that my aunt that was like my second mom is showing up for me in this way. This is, you know, they know how to take it the right way, by and large. And it's something that they can see. It's almost like, I call it spirit texting, in the sense that sometimes you can feel them think talking with you, and they're just like, hey, I'm just thinking about you. I love you so much. And it's not like earth-shattering communications. Think about how much, you know, you don't have earth-shattering communications with most of your people anyway. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, hey, I'm thinking about you. Hey, you know, I got this sweater for you, and I want to make sure I drop it off. It's just kind of... people have to understand that it's normal everyday stuff that most people in spirit care about us still on those deep levels.
Yeah, I just I've heard also too about people, you know, through internet searches felt like they're being getting signs from
That's
their
a good
deceased
point.
Loved ones,
yeah.
Or CAPTCHAs, or you know those little codes that appear, like coming up with a message.
That's true.
You know, so you know,
there are synchronicities that start to align people when they're on a spiritual, a conscious spiritual journey with this, and it is something where they can feel led by spirit. Now, is there a difference between algorithms playing with you and your phone listening to you? Absolutely. So I would say be a healthy skeptic when it comes to those things. But it is a fascinating thing that over the years people have, let's say they found the ways they found me. Some people have had dreams. They were told by spirit that you needed to talk to a medium named Willa, and they never heard the name Willa before. And then they do the Google search, Willa and medium, and they found me, kind of thing. And they're like, oh, my gosh, it's true. And so they were able to use technology to find me, but they're jogged by spirit. And I've also had where they were like, I have no idea why, but you popped up. And I was like, I hadn't been searching for mediums. I hadn't been searching for any of these things. And my mom had just passed, and I was like, what on earth? Why would this? It's not like I pay for ads. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. for that to pop up for them, and they hadn't been following me, and they don't know anybody else that it had had contact with me. And so it does happen in those ways. Very cool.
Yeah. No, it's just like another aspect of the world to pay attention to and to have like to be in collaboration with the universe. It's just another way.
So,
and I love that. That's mostly people ask me like, "Oh, are you looking for proof?" And it's like with photography, it's not, you know, it's a tricky medium, you know, quote unquote. Yeah. But what I love is the synchronicities. Those are the most, the ones that resonate most strongly with me. Like the book ends with my most powerful photographic synchronicity, where I took a photo of a man in trance and it looks exactly like the carte de visite of his great grandfather. And so it's a testimonial of sorts, but I'm not offering it as proof. I'm offering it as like, a question or an invitation to think or an invitation to think about the world in this sort of way, think about technology and art and photography and this as this type of metaphysical device.
Yeah, and it's a good way for them to start to understand their profound connection with the universe, with all it is, and with that collaboration of love and light that is going on. And another thought I was having when it comes to photography, I feel spirit really likes to play with the light. Spirit is of the light. So I know initially sometimes with photography, spirit was able to play with it because of the light and because of the glass and because they used to have it on glass instead. And something that they, the transparency and the chemistry as well.
We forget that photography, really, the raw materials of photography are light and time. What could be more mysterious or more apt to metaphysical influence? We don't even understand light, really.
That's
light is a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Time, space-time is a mystery. Every single photograph in and of itself is spirit photography because you are holding something that is no longer there. The second you take it, it's gone. So I really do like thinking of photography in this way. And I think a lot of people, even the most pragmatic materialists, are drawn to photography because of its magic. You know, the darkroom chemistry. Now we're in these digital darkrooms, but still it's still you're using light and time and you're capturing something that is no longer. The second you catch it, it's gone.
Yeah, and I remember I was reading a book recently about when photography started to come out and artists said, well, that's not good art, that's horrible. They said, you know, especially because they came off of the pre-Raphaelites and they were like, even with Impressionism, that's still not going to be photography is still not going to be as good. And what they realized is that the technology was, in essence, its own brushstroke.
Yeah, and, this automatic art, this idea of automation, which plays into all spiritualist art, too,
yes.
This art not made of human hands,
mm-hmm.
art, you know, that's photography. Photography is an automatic art.
Mm-hmm.
And photography did, that's why it's kind of an exciting time for thinking about photography this way, because photographic artists or people who were fans of photography, they spent a lot of time trying to prove to the art world that it was a worthy art.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this big competition with painting, and finally in the 80s and the 90s, galleries and museums started to collect photography in the way that you would collect painting. And now it's accepted. Some of the most expensive art in the world is made by famous photographers. And so now that that whole conversation is over, we can relook at photography's magic or things that are maybe a little bit spookier or metaphysical about photography. We can go back and ask these initial questions again because it's already proved itself as an art. So
yeah.
It can be what it is, which is something very unique and very distinctive.
Beautiful. And I was just wondering, because, you know, I do have the aura class this Saturday that I'll be teaching, and in terms of aura photography as it plays into ITC, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, mostly when we think of aura photography, you think of those color photos, you know, with the big, beautiful fields of color over the people.
Mm-hmm.
That is a device invented by a man named Guy Coggins. Called the Aurograph machine, but you basically, it's a biofeedback mechanism. You're putting your hands into a device, and the device is reading your body to create the color that is then added to the photograph. So it's kind of like a sandwiched image, but it's using your actual biofeedback.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, those cameras are incredibly expensive. The original Polaroid ones are like $10,000. Now you can buy ones that are slightly cheaper that are digital. I actually prefer the ones that are the done on Polaroid.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you've ever had an Aura photograph, but if you go to New York City, there's a place called Magic Jewelry in Chinatown where you can get it. A lot of times it's like fairs will have them. I highly recommend them. They're beautiful pictures, and it's really fun. And usually the practitioner who's doing the picture will then give you a reading based on your color. There's some artists who use that device as well.
And it can shift. It can, and the aura it can show with other living things too, with plants and animals, not just humans. But I think it's a good point for people to understand that when it comes to your aura, that's you. That's your own soul showing up in that photograph. That's how your own soul is emanating with energy. So aura photography is the soul of the spirits that are coming forward in that photography. And that is an important thing to know, that we're talking about, yes, other people being souls, but you being a soul and how your light emanates.
Yes, because we're spirits too. We're just, you know, we're still wearing our skins.
The physical body layered with the many spiritual bodies that exist within us. So, oh, that's beautiful. Any last thoughts before we close for today? I know time's gone so fast. This has been a great, great conversation.
Just if you are interested, there's a ton of resources, but also my book, I do talk a lot about all of these things, and I have a bibliography in the back of it that would be helpful to anybody interested in pursuing it further. There's a lot of historical images as well as my own pictures in the book.
Yes, it really is a great book, and thank you for coming on today to talk about instrumental transcommunication, the elements of especially focusing on electronic voice phenomenon and spirit photography. Those are our main elements. And also, you know, the electricity and how that is used to further spirit communication. So these are all aspects. So encourage you, if you're just catching the tail end of this, go back and watch this video again so that you can learn more from this discussion we've had with Shannon Taggart. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And I encourage people to check out shannontaggart.com if you want more information about her book, Seance, and also upcoming things that she'll be doing for Lilydale. The Lilydale Symposium is going to be 2 days this summer, right? That's what they're planning for. So,
July 28th and 29th. Oh, and there'll be an opening event on the 27th in the evening. So I have a mailing list. If you want to hear more, please sign up for my mailing list. I should have an announcement very soon.
Excellent. So mark your calendars now for July 27th, 28th for here in Lilydale so that you can get the full flavor of that lecture series. And I'm glad that you're putting that together. You've been such a wonderful addition to the program over the years. And we can't thank you enough for doing what you're doing to support Lilydale and also spiritualism. All right, if anybody's interested in the Aura class, check out my website, willowwhite.com, because it's this Saturday and you don't want to miss it. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week. I'm going to have, as my special guest, Celeste Elliott, we're going to be talking about building your spiritual foundation. All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Shannon. Have a beautiful day.
Bye-bye.